RadioMD.
RadioMD.com.
Your eyes are the window to your health. Time to learn more with Dr. Robert Abel Jr., the Wizard of Eyes.
Well, we're going to hear about some hot topics, hot epidemics, the latest viruses, vaccines, and what you, the ordinary citizen, should be made aware of and what you can do. And I'm so grateful to have an expert, Dr. Omar Khan, who is experienced in much of this information that's going around the world with some of these current items. And I thought, Omar, that we just discussed the recent change in status of polio vaccination first. How's that sound?
Of course, that sounds wonderful, Dr. Abel. Thank you, as always, for having me back on.
So what happens with the new kind of valency of the polio vaccines, and what does that mean to people who are taking it, and how often should they be retaking that immunization?
Absolutely. Most of us think of polio or poliomyelitis as essentially one disease, but it really, according to the World Health Organization, it's really caused by three distinct, we think, polioviruses. For simplicity's sake, let's call them type 1, type 2, and type 3. All the countries in the world, except for two, Afghanistan and Pakistan, have eradicated polio. So, for example, most of our listeners here in the United States have never seen a case of polio, thankfully, for many, many years. Now, the vaccine itself used to contain three strains against 1, 2, and 3. As the prevalence has decreased, turns out that strain number 2 is essentially gone. The last wild poliovirus number 2 was in India in 1999. So it really means is we can switch from the old trivalent oral polio vaccine, 1, 2, and 3, to the bivalent one, which is only 1 and 3. So 2 is now out of circulation. Now, oral polio vaccination is only used in these countries where you still have some risk of polio transmission. But eventually the hope is we're going to move away from oral polio vaccination entirely and even phase out this new bivalent vaccine in favor of IPV, which is the injectable inactivated polio vaccine, which is what we use in this country. So we are well on the path towards polio eradication. Only 74 cases of polio were detected in all of 2015. And there again, none of them are due to that number 2 strain, and that's the whole reason for the vaccine switch.
So what time of life should people be vaccinated, and is one shot deal good enough for a lifetime?
Yeah, it's a good question. So if one is living in an endemic country for polio, for example, in Afghanistan or Pakistan, probably that child will be subject to multiple rounds of the oral polio vaccination with the drops, and that will still contain some live inactivated poliovirus, and that's why the switch is happening from the trivalent to the bivalent. If one is in a country such as the United States, where polio was eradicated a long time ago, then one's child will actually receive the IPV, or inactivated polio vaccine, which is the injectable polio vaccine. And that typically will happen in childhood. And so typically around 2 months or so is when that series will begin, just like kids get the diphtheria, the Haemophilus influenza, Hep B vaccines, and so forth. So that is really a childhood vaccine at this point.
So it shows that just because your pediatrician is giving you some injections doesn't mean that there's not some logic behind it.
There's a huge logic behind it. In addition to water and sanitation, vaccination is probably the single biggest public health preventive measure that you can do, and certainly the best bang for your buck. Vaccines for children are essentially free of charge in this country, or incredibly low cost, and they prevent against a lifetime of debilitation and disease through all these conditions which we are fortunate enough to never have to see again. The reason most of your listeners have never seen polio is because we had such a robust vaccination program in this country against polio.
Bravo. And now let's turn to a mosquito-borne issue.
Indeed.
The Zika virus. What do you know?
Oh, gosh. Zika, we learn more every day, it seems like. I'm sure your readers have heard about the latest issue with Zika, which is that it can cause, it can be one of the causes of a Guillain-Barré syndrome, or GBS. And Guillain-Barré syndrome is a neuromuscular condition where the body reacts against the what's called a myelin sheath on the nerves. And the long and short of it is, it leads to profound muscle weakness. And over a relatively short course of time, can actually lead to severe weakness, respiratory paralysis, difficulties in breathing, and so forth. And we think the Zika virus is a key contributor to Guillain-Barré syndrome. Now, so far, there have not been very many cases of Guillain-Barré worldwide attributed to Zika, but there have been almost 500 cases now of Guillain-Barré syndrome in about 13 countries around the world linked to Zika. Now, couple that with what we already knew, which is the microcephaly, the children born with severe deformities leading to a very small skull, very small head, and those fetal malformations. There have now been more than 1,000 cases of microcephaly linked to Zika virus. And again, that's been linked from several countries around the world. So Zika is continuing to make headline news, and unfortunately in this case, it's for a good reason. It's for severe health effects.
So what I tell people is, one, if you can avoid pregnancy during the summer. Two, avoid the daylight hours if possible, if that's something you're concerned with or pregnant. Three, get rid of all standing water. Four, it's safe to use DEET if you are pregnant, because I've heard that, and please share that with me. And to be observant, perhaps even spray their property if someone is pregnant. Are there any changes you would make in that kind of regimen?
I think that that is all excellent advice, and I know you're not. We now have to tailor this to the United States population, since Zika is in the U.S. as well. The advice around contraception is very important. Zika can be transmitted through sexually transmitted means, and of course, the bite of this mosquito called the Aedes mosquito. They're indoor biters as well. So, in addition to eliminating outdoor sources of stagnant water, so the mosquitoes, you know, can't lay eggs and reproduce. Indoors, one has to be careful as well. The one piece I might add is that DEET-containing products come in various shapes and sizes. So the lowest effective concentration of DEET is a good one to look at. NPR had a good piece recently on comparing different kinds of DEET products, and I can send you the link so you can add that to the Wizard of Oz website. The lemon eucalyptus oil, when it's added to a body spray like this, can actually be quite effective. And in one or two cases, those products were as effective as those containing DEET. So if moms and dads are concerned about using DEET on kids or even on themselves, they can certainly use the lemon eucalyptus type of oil as well.
So before we finish, tell us about the next flu season, and will we be ahead of time with getting the appropriate vaccine?
I certainly hope so. This year's flu season has been interesting. In Delaware, it's been a little bit late where I'm talking from right now. We're still seeing some flu. I think the best advice, as always, is seek help early if you think you're infected. Get vaccinated. The single most important aspect of prevention of the flu is to get vaccinated against influenza. So see your doc in the fall and get your flu shot.
You know, what I tell people is also, if you have an adequate normal D level, vitamin D3 level, you have some level of protection against almost all infections. And so that's something else that people can do, which across the board gives them a hormone besides a vitamin that's important as an immune compensator.
Good advice for many different conditions. Absolutely.
Well, thank you, Omar. We always learn so much from you, and I'm so grateful to have you as a colleague and friend.
Thank you, Dr. Abel. Likewise, have a great day.
I'm Dr. Rob Abel, the Wizard of Oz on RadioMD.com. For more information on this segment or any of my segments, visit my show page at RadioMD.com. Thank you for listening. Thank you for trying to prevent. Thank you for being wise. And always stay well.